Well, good morning to you again. Pastor's not here with us this morning, and I'm just as surprised as you are. I just found out a few moments ago, so praise God. So be in prayer for me, amen? We're going to have a good time this morning. We're going to start having testimonies, amen? No, I'm just playing with you. Folks, in the light of everything that's going on today, open your Bibles to Romans. And I guess I need to tell you that, right? Romans chapter 5. In the light of everything going on with this pandemic, I don't know about you, but I get more and more frustrated over it. I feel like I'm living in a third world country now. Have you noticed riding down the highways how everything is just looks trashy now? They're not picking up the garbage. They're not mowing the grass. I mean, all these things that's normally done is not done. And all these things we've complained about all these years, because our taxes, we had to pay for all this stuff, right? Well, we're still paying for it, but it's not happening. So I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm in a third world country. You turn on the news, which I do very rarely anymore. Amen. You already know what they're going to say. And you see barbed wire around the White House. That's sad in this country. And, of course, you know it's Trump supporters are trying to keep out, right? You know that, right? Bunch of yo-yos. You know, they've already proven that that's not true. It's not the Trump supporters. You know, it's a sad day right here in America. And with all that being said, also at home, I have a mother that's not doing too well, and also have a mother-in-law that's not doing too well, and they're both there. So I have to deal with both of those, and God bless them. I love both of them to death. But it's hard when they begin to slip into, you know, Alzheimer's or whatever the case may be. Life changes, and you see changes. And I see the same thing in the world today. I'm seeing the same thing in the world as I see at home. You know, when your mind begins to leave you, you know, you're not focused on the things of God. You're focusing on yourself and what's happening in your little world. But I look at the big world and I'm seeing the same thing. You know, people are scared to death. Folks, you know what people need? They need to be saved. They need Jesus. That's what they need. If they had Jesus, they wouldn't be so worried about wearing their mask.
Amen.
You know, which is, I hate to even get off on that because that gets me fired up. You know, I was at, oh my soul, I was at a restaurant last night. And I thought they was going to ask us to put a mask on coming in, but they didn't because I was up in Kissimmee. And they didn't, thank God, because I'd have just turned around and walked out. But these waitresses have this mask on and they come and they're waiting your table and they're constantly, can I get you another drink? No, not really. This will be fine. I mean, it's so nasty to breathe in this thing. You got this apparatus over your face. You can't tell who anybody is. You know, you can't hear what they're saying. Everybody's talking about that right now. We're going to do Sunday school that way this morning, right? Amen. I mean, it is just so annoying. People are scared. And then the ones who aren't scared won't take a stand for themselves. I mean, my soul. I remember the America I grew up in wasn't like that. I grew up in America where they didn't mind saying something. They'd take a stand in a heartbeat. This would have never happened when I was a teenager. Not in this country. It would have never happened. But, folks, I want you to know what they're trying to do. Have you noticed that you cannot get COVID at Walmart? Did you notice that? That's one of the only places that never shut down. So obviously you cannot get COVID at Walmart. The worst place to get COVID is at church. So you need to spread out a little more. Because, you know, you'll get COVID here. That's what the news is trying to teach you. And all it is doing is trying to separate you from your God. They want to separate you from your neighbor, your friends. You know, have you ever heard that old story, divide and conquer? That's what they're doing. You know, while everybody was locked in their little nest, what the government was doing? They was out putting up towers. Have you noticed now when you ride around, you see towers that weren't there before?
Amen.
They're G5 towers. And that's going to usher in the Antichrist, trust me. It's coming. It's coming fast. So, you know, so with all that being said, what is it that people need more than anything? That's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. And then I heard a guy on a program this week teaching Calvinism. I get so frustrated with that also. And basically, if you don't know what Calvinism is, it's basically teaching that predestination. Everything's predestinated. You know, so either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell, and it's already been decided for you. Well, it's not. That's not exactly true. It's has it been decided? Yeah, it's been decided. God paid the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood that you may go to heaven. Now it's your choice. It's up to you. You have that choice. And they said, well, God knows. Yes, he does. He knows whether or not you're going to accept him. He knows whether or not you're going to accept his son, the Lord Jesus. God knows everything. So he knows that. It's still your choice. Amen. It's up to you. You can accept him or reject him. And with all that being said, the reason I wanted to go to Romans this morning is because the world needs Jesus. And it's not just us in this little room right here. It's not just us. There's a lot of listeners over the radio. And there's a lot of people that's so confused about things. And salvation is so simple. It's so simple. Man makes it complicated. All you got to know is that you're a sinner. You need to know that. You need to know that you do sin. Whether you believe that or not, you're a sinner. I mean, I've talked to people that tell you flat out they don't sin. I'm a good person. That in itself was a sin because it was a lie. Amen? Amen. They're just not intelligent enough to understand that. But that's the way the world perceives things. So if you know that you're a sinner, and then you know that you're going to go to heaven or hell because of that sin, you need to know that. You need to know that if you're without Jesus, you're going to hell. It's just that simple. There is no middle of the road. Like Dr. Carter always said, you walk down the middle, what is in the middle of the highway? Just a yellow stripe, right? Folks, you can't walk the lines. Either you're on board or you're not. So either you're on the train, you're on a fast train for heaven, or you're on a fast train for hell. There's no other options. So you need to know that. And if you know that, you need to know that you have a Savior. And if you know that you have a Savior and you can call on him to save you, that's all you need to know to be saved. It's just that simple. Man makes it complicated. If I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I need a Savior, and I know that that Savior is the Lord Jesus, and I ask Jesus to come into my life according to this book, I'm going to heaven. And that's all there is to it. Everything else is hogwash. Everything else is what man feeds in to salvation. And usually that's done because they want control. They want power over you. And a priest, hey, that's what they do. You go back in the book of Matthew, who was it that most hated the fact that Jesus was crucified? Who was it that was afraid he was going to come out of the tomb more than anybody? The priest. The priest. Because they were about to lose their jobs. Hey, they wanted that power. They wanted the power over man. Jesus took all that power away, didn't he? He's our high priest now. We no longer need a priest. We just need Jesus. So with all that being said, I wanted to look in Romans this morning. Preacher's going to be gone for a couple of so weeks, so we can start here and see how far we go. If we don't get very far, we'll go again next week. If we get through, we'll start something new. So look at Romans. We're going to start in chapter 5 and verse 8. We'll start in verse 8. It says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I want you to understand something. Now, this is pretty simple. I understand that. And I know that most everybody, I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody in here is saved. Amen? Amen. But we need to draw nigh to God. Folks, if it's something I've learned through this pandemic, everything that's going on around me is trying to push me away from my God. Don't you feel that way? Don't you feel smothered sometimes? I moved this pulpit here a little closer towards those chairs. Because Brother Burton set it back where I'm standing. And if I back up here, I feel like I'm being smothered in a hole. And that's kind of the way I feel today. I mean, everywhere you go, somebody's trying to push you away. People are scared of each other. Never seen anything like it. Family members. Family will turn you in quick. He don't have a mask on. People, the world is trying to push you away from your God. And everything closes. Can you imagine these people in nursing homes that's been there for all these months with no visitors? Can you imagine the loneliness and the lack of hope that these people have? The only hope they would have would be in the Lord Jesus. And there's so many of them that don't know Jesus. And even the ones who are saved and do know Jesus still feel so lonely. They feel forgotten. That's exactly what they want to do to you. They want to take away the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the ones that got to stand up and not let that happen. But with everything's going on, that's the way I feel. Sometimes I feel like, man, everything's just falling apart around you. I look at the America that I've loved all my life. And did you see on the news? I know I'm getting off a little bit, but I can't help it. You see on the news where our sports teams, the Olympic team, is allowed to take a knee when they play our national anthem. I would like to ask him one thing. Why are they wearing our jerseys? Why do they have the red, white, and blue on? You know, we need to tell them people to take a hike. And they're going on somebody else's dime. And the nation thinks this is okay. Folks, that just breaks my heart. You know, I mean, I love my country. My God comes first. But I still love my country. And to see what's happening to it, it saddens me. However, I know it's going to happen. It's got to take place. Because we know the tribulation period's coming in. And we know all this is ushering in the Antichrist. And we know that. And I know that. But it still breaks my heart. I don't want to see it happen on my watch. You know, that I think that's what hurts me so much. Is that it's on our watch. This is our country. This is you know, our God gave us this nation. And folks, it's up to us to keep it. And if we climb in a hole somewhere, because that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to climb in a hole and give up. And the next thing they're going to do is rob you. You know that, right? That's the next thing's coming. They're going to rob you. All that money that you got saved up and put up, they're going to take it. You watch and see. It's coming. Am I trying to scare you? Yeah, I am. Because I want you to know the truth. I want you to know that we're at the point that the trumpet might sound any day. And I've heard people say, I've heard that all my life. Yeah, me too. Thank God we're a day closer. But what I'm telling you right now, if you look at the times and read the scriptures, we're there. We're at the door right now. We're at the end of the last church age. The Laodicean church age. We're right at the end of it. Any day. And you see how fast everything is progressing. It's moving along so quickly. I'd have never thought in a million years. I've read my Bible and I've studied and I've gone through scriptures. And I've always asked myself, how is the Antichrist going to come in and deceive so many people? Because even the people who are lost aren't totally ignorant. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people around here today that's lost, but they have religion. They know there's a God. They believe there's a God. They're just not saved. There's a lot of people like that. So I've always wondered, how is the Antichrist going to come in? Because when you read the scriptures, it's just going to happen just so easily. And then you see the pandemic. And then I'm like, oh my word, over a little bug that you can't even see. People just gave up their lives. They're giving up their freedoms, giving up their rights for a little bug that they can't see. Now, folks, listen to me. I know there's some people who's gotten sick, okay? There's a few people around us that's gotten sick. Very few, I might add. But there's a few. And I don't know of anybody here that's died from it. And I want you to understand, that happens every year. Every year. The flu kills people every year. And there has never been a day in your lifetime, since the day you was born, there's never been a day that your feet has hit this ground that there wasn't a bug out there. We might not know about it, but it's there. But yet, everybody just climbed in a hole and gave up. Like little house spiders, you know, just run in. And I'm like, oh my soul, I see now how easy it's going to be for the Antichrist to take over. And I'm so proud of this church. I'll tell you right now, I am so proud of you people. You people have fought, you've stayed here, you've come to church, you've served your God. Because that's what our scriptures tells us to do. Well, I might get sick, so be it. You came anyways. Bless God. And that should have been that way all across the United States. But it wasn't. Churches all across the United States, some of them are still shut down. And the churches themselves are scared to death. And if you read over Revelations about the Laodicean church, you'll see why they're so scared. What does the Bible tell us about the Laodicean church? Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Isn't that what it says? They've thrown him out of the church house. We make up the church, but they've thrown him out of the church house. And that's why everything is so bad. And that's why people are so afraid. They need Jesus. But they're trying to divide and conquer us. That's exactly what they're trying to do. And folks, it just sickens me. I get so frustrated over it because I want to do something about it. But what can we do? The only thing we can do is just keep on keeping on, keep on spreading the gospel. And remember, if the trumpet sounds today, in which it could sound sometime today. It could sound before we get out of here. But if the trumpet sounds, how many of your relatives and your friends and your family is going to hell? I mean, do you know whether or not every one of your children are saved, or your grandchildren, their spouses, are they saved? Do you know that? If you don't know that, you need to be making sure that they're saved. Because it's happening. It's at the door. We all die. We all die. That might be in 30 years, could be in 50 years. But the trumpet sounds, we're all leaving here right now. And anybody left behind, folks, these people are going to hell. We can't be sitting on our hands, coming to church and playing church on Sunday, and then the rest of the time, we're out like little grasshoppers hopping around and doing what? Enjoying our lives. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go to Disney. I'm not saying it's wrong to go golfing or racing or whatever it is you want to do. You want to go fishing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's fine. But wherever you go and whatever you do, you still need to be spreading the gospel. And you need to be conducting yourself as a Christian. It's so important. It's more important today than it's ever been. Because if the trumpet sounds tomorrow, these people are going to hell. And you'd be surprised how many of your own family is going to go to hell. And you know, you read over in the book of Revelations. I don't remember exactly the verse, but you read over there. And you'll see that during the judgment time, there's going to be tears in heaven. Have you ever asked yourself why people's crying in heaven? Can you imagine at the great white throne judgment? And you know, we're judged prior. You know that, right? So we're all gathered up there together. And these sinners are being judged. These without Christ. They're being judged. And one of them happens to be your uncle, niece, cousin, son, daughter, neighbor, whatever the case may be. And they're being sentenced to an eternity in hell. Can you imagine them looking at you like, why didn't you tell me? You know, you're over there on that side. You're saved. You're with Jesus. I'm over here going to hell. Why did you not tell me? You ever thought about that? Because, folks, that's what's going to happen. I can look back and think of the days of the people that I've known that I never witnessed to, never said a word to them about Jesus in the past. And the trumpet sounds when judgment day comes, if that person hadn't got saved, if somebody else hadn't took time to tell them about Jesus, I'm going to have to be standing there when that person's sentenced to hell. That's going to hurt. Of course, we know the Bible says all tears will be wiped away. Thank God for that. But folks, this is serious business. We're talking about our souls. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever. And right now, we've become so self-centered on everything that we do. Everything's about me. Everything. My entire day is about me. What I want to do. From the time I get up to the time I lie down, it's about me. How am I going to feed me today? What am I going to do today? Where am I going to go today? How am I going to pleasure myself today? That's the way the world is today. It's about me. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just came through town. Guy sitting there at the stop sign. At a stop sign now. Texting. I don't know how long he'd been there. He was there before I got there. He was there when I left. And how about the people behind him? No concern. Could care less. It's about me. I need to text somebody right now. I don't care if I block traffic up for 20 miles. It's about me. You know, there's people get over in the left lane and drive 10 miles an hour slower than traffic. Traffic backed up for 48 miles. I still say it ought to be the bumper law. You're allowed to throw the bumper to them. Get them out of the way. But see, it's all about me. They're riding over there because they don't care about you. It's not about you. I feel like this. If you want to ride 5 miles an hour, fine. Get over in the right lane. Ride as slow as you want to.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I could care less. That's fine. But folks, it's always about us, isn't it? And that's where we're at today. That's the Laodicean church age. We're so focused on self. Even in a church, everything's about me. This is my seat. I seen a fellow do that one time. I seen a couple come in and sit down, and a young man walked over and said, "I'm sorry, man, but that's my seat." I'm like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I ignored it at the time. I wouldn't ignore it now, but I ignored it at the time. But I'm like, "My soul, are you serious? These are visitors. If a visitor comes in and wants your seat, give it to them. Okay? Stand up and look. Your name's not written on it. Okay? It belongs to God. All right? But we forget that. We become so consumed in ourselves that we forget why we're even here. Folks, but that's the way we're living our lives. We're doing that with everything. We go to the grocery store. My wife will run over you to get in line at the cash register at the grocery store. You know what? It's about her. I'm in a hurry. Well, maybe they are too. No. Not as many bigger hurry as I am. And she'll prove it. She'll run right over you. I'm like, "My soul, I hate to go to the store with her." But folks, that's the way we are, though. It's always about us. And that's the reason I want to look at these passages today. We need to know that we need a Savior. This crazy world, the way it's going on. And we need to remind ourselves. And how do I get out of all this dilemma that's going on? I can't separate myself from it. You know, okay, I'm stuck in it. No matter where I go, somebody's got a mask on. I see people riding down the road by themselves. Nobody in the car. And they got their mask on. I'm like, you know, you want to stop them. Open the window. You know what I mean? That's what you feel like. I'm like, "Oh, my soul." But God bless them. They need Jesus. Okay? They're so scared. And then some of them just act like they like the mask. "Hey, look at me. I got a new one on today." But so be it. But how do you get out of all that? You got to get closer to God. That's how you get out of that. You got to get God, more God in you, more spiritualness in you. You need to get closer to God. Right now, we need to be closer to God than we've ever been. Remember the moment we got saved? Remember the joy that it brought to your heart when you knew that you wasn't going to hell? You know, I was only like 12 years old when I got saved, but I remember it just like it was today. I remember getting up out of my seat and walking down that aisle, and I didn't have a clue what I was supposed to do. All I knew, the preacher said I was a sinner, I'm going to hell. And I knew, I remember telling a lie to my mama. I'm like, "Man, that's me he's talking about. And I'm going to hell." I didn't want to go to hell. And I remember coming down that aisle, just like it was today. And I remember praying and giving my life to Jesus. And I remember how I felt afterwards. Just like, "Oh, I'm going to heaven. Amen." And that's the way we need to feel today. That's where we need to be today. Because when you first got saved, remember, just like the preacher always says, when you first get saved, everything's honky-dory, isn't it? Everything's perfect. Everybody's going to love Jesus. You're going to tell the whole world. They'll slap you down, but you're going to have fun trying for a while. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to loving the Lord so much that we want to spread His gospel and share His name with everybody we see. Instead of going into the store and being, say, when I walk into a store without a mask, people look at you. They do. They look at you like, and I'll just start singing a song. Jesus loves me. Now you're really nuts. This guy's lost it. You know, but they'll stay away from you. When you go through line, they don't bother you. I don't have to race them to the cash register. They don't want to be in front of me. This guy don't have a mask and he's singing something about Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, it works. People don't want to hear it. They're scared to death. And they just know I got COVID. If they're crowded, just cough. And when you get up here, they're gone. Amen. They're like, "Praise the Lord. Look at here. I don't have to wait." And for 5 weeks, I didn't have to fake it. For 5 weeks, I've been coughing. Amen. And that cough is pretty much gone now. Thank the pastor. You know he's a doctor, did you? He's Dr. Carter, but he's also a medical doctor. You didn't know that, did you? I'm just playing there. But he and Sister Sonia gave me some cellular tea. I drank that tea, and in 5 minutes, you break out in a sweat. And that cough went away just like that. I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And I haven't hardly coughed since. Every once in a while, you know, just like anybody, you get a little cough once in a while. But it just broke that stuff. I've been fighting it for 5 weeks, and it just eat it right out. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And thank Dr. Carter, you're listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I got rid of this old nasty flu bug or cough or whatever it was. I think it was bronchitis. But anyhow, anyways, doctors don't know either. All right, look back at verse 8. But God commendeth his love. I want you to notice that's present tense. That's not past tense. That's present tense. See, Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, right? But the blood's still there. It's still good. It's just as good for you and I as it was for those folks over 2,000 years ago. The blood's still good. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the ungodly. Not the sinless, the sinners, amen? Folks, even though we were sinners, God loved us enough to die for us. You and I. Think about that. We're wicked. We're wicked people. And some people say, oh, I'm not wicked. Yes, you are. Look at all the thoughts that go through your mind. And we're wicked peoples. Look what it says in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath. What's he talking about? Wrath. That's talking about hell, the wrath of God. We're going to be saved from that. We're not going to have to deal with that wrath. We're going to be saved from hell. And how are we going to be saved from hell? By what? His blood. The shed blood of the perfect, sinless God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Folks, that's just telling you that in his death, we were reconciled to God. So how about his life? If we were reconciled by his death, what are we going to get by his life? Jesus is alive. He's resurrected. He's not like Buddha and Muhammad. They're dead. They're going to stay dead. Amen. They're not coming back. Jesus arose. He's alive. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more. Now, when we were enemies. In other words, what's it telling us right here? That if we're not saved, we haven't been reconciled, then we're an enemy of God. Right. Nope. Folks, we don't like to hear that, do we? But that's the truth. Until we're saved, we're enemies. We're an enemy of God. Look at verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Folks, it's been paid for. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. You know, in the garden, we lost fellowship with the Lord. Jesus bought it back for us. He paid for every ounce of it. You and I don't have to do anything other than believe and ask. Jesus paid the price. It was his blood that paid the price. It was his death, burial, and his resurrection. That's the good news. That's the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, this is talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. What are we learning right here, folks? Even though everybody in the garden didn't sin against God the way Adam did, you got to remember at that time there was no law. The only law was that Jesus told Adam and Eve what? Not to eat of the tree of life. Thou shalt not. That's a commandment. That was the only law there was. They broke that law with God. They sinned against God. Well, what about everybody else? According to this, everybody else didn't sin. They didn't do that. They were cast out of the garden, weren't they? But nevertheless, they all died. They all died anyways. But they didn't have any sin in their life, right? What's he trying to show us? We're inheritors. We inherited. And I can take you back to Genesis. I can take you back to Genesis. Matter of fact, let's go back to Genesis. I believe it's chapter 5. I believe. Look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, his likeness, his image, what was he? A sinner. He had broken the law. He had sinned against God. So Seth was created after his likeness. If we go back a little further and we read how Adam was created in what? The likeness of God. Adam was created without sin. He had no sin until he sinned against God. So what we're learning over here in Romans, what we're learning is because of Adam's sin, that sin was handed down. That sin was just like genes, man. It just handed right down. So you and I being born, you take a baby that's, you know, what, four or five months old, even earlier than that. A lot of times a baby crying, what's wrong with it? Nothing. I want you to pick him up. What's he doing? He lying, isn't he? Yeah. He lying, making you think something's wrong. And how about when they start to talk? Do you have to teach a child to lie?
No.
Nope. Comes natural. It's in their likeness, a sinner. It's natural. We have to teach a child to tell the truth. We have to teach a child not to lie. Because it's our sin nature, it's the curse, our sin nature. We all just naturally will sin. We will all naturally lie. We'll do those things. So that's what they're trying to teach us here. God's trying to show us that even though we didn't transgress the law at the time, because there was no law, we didn't transgress. And they didn't eat the fruit that they weren't supposed to. But nevertheless, they died. So what we ought to learn from that, it doesn't matter who you are, who we are. Just because we think we're good, let's just say you're really good. You haven't stole. You haven't lied. We know that's a lie, but you hadn't lied. Okay? You haven't stole. You haven't done anything bad. You've been good all your life. You get up in the morning, and you read your Bible, and you study your Bible all day long, and you pray and go to bed. You do that every day. You're perfect. You're going to hell without Jesus. Because you're still an inheritor. You're part of the sin curse. You've inherited the sin of Adam. And you and I and everybody, we're born that way. We're in the likeness of Adam. So we all have a sin nature. That we have to overcome. And the only way we can overcome that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm going to stop there. We only got like a minute left. So I'm going to stop right there. And we'll take that back up next week. And prayerfully, we'll get a little further through the scriptures, and now that I know I'm gonna be here next week, so y'all come back next week as well, and let's pray for this pandemic, pray for our country, pray for your president. I understand, but what does the Bible tell us to do? Pray for thine enemies. Amen. That's right. I mean, it's a plain fact. We hate to say our president is our enemy, but he is. So we need to be praying for all these people that's in the White House, and be praying for your church, be praying for one another. Folks, we need God, and we need to draw nigh to God. And this is the time. Remember a preacher said a little while back that normally when we have some type of a catastrophe, people usually run to the church house. And you notice that didn't happen this time. They made sure of that, didn't they? They even closed the churches so the people couldn't run to God. But that's where we need to be. We need to be in God's hands. And folks, we need to be praying like we've never prayed before. We need to be reading and studying our Bibles. We need to draw ourselves closer to God to get away from this worldly thing that's going on. Because folks, the only ones telling anybody about Jesus is you and I. The lost people, they're not telling anybody about Jesus. You're not going to turn your news on tonight and hear about Jesus, are you? It's not going to happen. You know, you can't turn on anything anymore. It's hard to turn on a radio station and get Jesus. Amen. It's hard to go to church and get Jesus anymore. So, folks, we need to be practicing what we say that we believe. We need to be studying, reading, praying. And, folks, pray for these elderly people. I know we're not elderly. We need to pray for the elderly. They're struggling right now in these nursing homes. It's really a battle for them. And I know they loosened up a little bit, but it's still really, really tough for them. So y'all be in prayer for those folks. Well, that's about our time. So we'll get our Sunday school count here, and we'll take about a 10-minute break, and we'll come back for the preaching services. Well, we got a total of 795 this morning. So that's pretty good. So anyhow, we'll take about a 10-minute break, and we'll come back for the preaching.